the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 189 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. Oh, my God, we've got a good one for you this week. Just a fantastic show. Seriously. I have a great conversation. The sisters Watt, Carrie and Kristen Watt, come and join me. They put on these great, great, great shows, Seattle Living Room shows and Seattle Secret shows here in Seattle. Where else would it be, guys? Come on. They put on these great shows. They're great, great performers, or promoters, I'm sorry, here in the wonderful city that we live in. We have a great conversation with them. They're sisters. They've got some good stories to tell about sneaking out of their houses and getting caught and then getting in sisterly fights. Yeah, that's what I really wanted to talk to them about because, oh, my God, we are on the eve. I am on the eve of being the father of two daughters, folks. I don't know if we've talked about this too much, but yeah, coming up April 24th, man, expecting my second daughter. Her name will be Tegan. Her name is already Tegan. She's already a small little being inside of my wife's uterus. But I'm very excited. I'm nervous. Having two kids, man, is, from what I've heard is like an exponential, growth from just having one. And, needless to say, I'm kind of nervous about that. My wife and I have been getting into a little bit of some heavier discussions about why I am not, as a man, I am not preparing myself, accordingly for having another child. Like, I don't seem to her that I am being stressed out about it or thinking about it much. And part of that is because this month has been, very, very, very stressful, okay? I've been doing a lot of MC gigs, some hosting things. Friday night, I hosted this launch party for do206.com, which, by the way, is a fantastic website that you guys should check out. Do206.com. Great, great website for finding events in Seattle. And they also have I don't even know the other area codes, but they've got Do LA, Do New York, Do Austin, and it's all surrounding the area codes there. So they've launched here in Seattle. They had a great launch party. Jay Cox, Rich Hobby, who have been on this show a little bit ago, asked me to be a tastemaker and or vibe raider. Get that? Vibrator? Ha, 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 ha. For their website. So I pick shows that people should check out, ones that I think people should check out. And they had me do a little MC thing for their karaoke portion of the launch party on Friday. And it, didn't go directly as planned. I may have been making fun of some of the people in the audience. I thought at the time that I was being self-effacing and I was putting on airs of being a bro, but but I don't know if it transferred very well. I don't know if people got the sarcasm behind it. And now I'm really rethinking my hosting qualities, right? But needless to say, I had a great time. And if you were in the audience at Do 206, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of you. I was trying to make fun of myself, and it just did not come out right. I was a little nervous and a little tipsy. And so were the people that came up and did the karaoke. Holy shit. Sorry for swearing right in the beginning monologue of the show, but holy shit. A lot of very drunk performers. We had Kithkin up there who proceeded to dance around and actually unplug the karaoke system, the sound system, because they were jumping around so much. And they were very drunk. And Galen of Pickwick, who came up there and started singing about his member. Right. Yes. It was very, very entertaining, folks. I had a great time, and it was a lot of fun just seeing these people really, really, you know, literally let loose and just go for it on these karaoke songs, some of which who have been on the show before. I got to say, Tomo Nakayama of the band Grand Hallway and now of the band Tomo Nakayama, who is doing a bunch of solo stuff. Holy shit, did he kill it, dude. He did Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. I think that was originally a Whitney Houston song, wasn't it? Or was it originally something else? I can't remember. No, it was Dolly Parton, right? That was originally Dolly Parton's song? Yeah. Anyway, Tomo Nakayama did the Whitney Houston version and fucking killed it. He slayed at this party. Also, to end the session, the karaoke session, Sean Nelson got up there and really killed it as well. So good on you guys, all of you who came up there and did some karaoke, and were very oblato while doing so. Anyway, it was a great time. I had a lot of fun, but I got to remember that I can't make fun of the audience members. What am I doing? God dang it, man. I'm not a professional MC, right? And I'm still learning. So that was definitely a learning experience, but I still had a great time, and I hope people enjoyed it as well. Coming up for the Air Raid podcast, guys, we've got good things coming up. Man, this live show, March 29th, guess what? Sold out. Absolutely sold out. We are packed. And I can't say thank you enough to all the people who have helped us promote it, and all the people like you, the dear listener to this show, that have bought tickets. Thank you so much. And it's going to be a great show. I hope you guys enjoy it if you're coming. And we're going to do more of these. So hang in there. If you didn't get around to buying the ticket this time, make sure you get on it next time, because if this one is any indication, boy, sold out real quick, and very, very excited for that, of course. Let's see, what else? Oh, Crackle Fest coming up on Friday, March 28th, going to be hosting that as well. So if you can't make it out to the Air Raid live show, why don't you come out to the Crackle Fest, and we can have a drink together. Why not, right? Yeah, it's for Emerald City Comic Con. Kirby Crackle is going to be there, amongst many other bands, at the Hard Rock Cafe here in downtown Seattle, and I will be hosting that to the best of my ability, apparently. Yeah, it's going to be fun, though. It's going to be fun. And then the 29th, we're going to do the first ever Air Raid Live. It's going to be episode 192, so if you can't make it, or you live elsewhere in the world or the country, which many of you do, We will be putting that up so you can hear it as well. And got everything dialed in today, and it should just work totally great. Yeah, we're really excited. Plus, it's going to be on the front page of iTunes as well. We've got all that stuff lined up. It's awesome. Okay, let's do this, shall we? Let's go. I've talked enough. Let's go to our first musical break. These guys, NTNT from Portland, Oregon, are going to be playing at the next... Seattle Secret Show, or Seattle Living Room Show, I believe, where you can get tickets. SeattleLivingRoomShow.com, shows.com, where you can get tickets. NTNT, going to be playing their March 29th show, which is not sold out yet. You can still get tickets. Please go to SeattleLivingRoomShows.com. The lovely, the beautiful, the very wonderful two sisters, Kristen and Carrie Watt, are putting this thing on. So you're going to have a good time, folks. And you're going to have a good time listening to this as well. This is NTNT. The song is called Good Heart, Bad Lungs. We'll be right back with special guests today, Carrie and Kristen Watt. All right. Stay with us, everybody. Good Heart, Bad Lungs, NTNT. Enjoy. I always got to say, like, remind myself, I was like, pull back. Pull back a little bit. Luckily, I have the captain's chair over here.
You right? Just lean back easily.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do we have these chairs?
Keep you upright. That's what we do. Well, welcome to the backyard, ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. Carrie and Kristen Watt of the, Seattle Secret Shows and Seattle Living Room Shows and every party that I ever go to. Always there having a great time.
That's right.
Right? Like Friday. Let's talk about Friday for a second, can we?
Sure.
Okay. Carrie wasn't there.
I was not there.
Yeah. You were, what, hungover? Is that what was going on?
I was recovering from a work retreat, of all things.
Mm. Work retreat.
Yes.
Was it fun?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good time with, like, your fellow employees?
It was, yeah. We were in Suncadia by Roslyn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. I've been up there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could ever do a work retreat with my fellow coworkers. I don't know if it would be fun for me.
I have a really small office space, so yeah.
Everybody
we all
gets along.
Yeah, really okay. Well. Mm-hmm.
Do you work in one of those places that has maybe a ping pong table?
I
or
do,
a
as a matter of fact.
Like? No
yep.
Shit.
I do. I work in a loft space in Fremont, and a lot of Fridays we pull out ping pong table
and the whiskey,
play some beer bong. We have a full bar set up at all times in our office.
God.
It's pretty great.
I keep trying to get a job there. They won't hire me.
Like, we our liquor price, our liquor, whatever. Never mind.
Yeah.
I think we work together enough.
Yeah. Oh, I think we would kill each other.
That's for sure. That's for sure. God. So Friday, I got invited to MC this event for do206.com, which is a great events webpage, by the way. We got to give credit where credit's due. Go and check them out. And they help us out quite a bit with, like, you know, shows that are coming up and things like that. So that's pretty cool. Kristen, you were there.
Yes.
Yeah. Get right up on that microphone.
Get right up on it. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And you can move it around. You can move thing around. It won't make any noise.
I know how to work the mic.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Grab the shaft.
Thanks. And then just move it around a little bit. Position it just right. Right in front of my mouth. Okay. Yeah. I got it.
That visual,
ew,
Kristen.
Ew.
Hey, we're talking about the microphone here, you guys. Come on.
But you were at this party. So it turned out, like, I thought I was going to be emceeing, like, the whole thing, right? I wasn't told very much about what was going on. And then I get there, and they're like, no, you're just going to emcee, like, the karaoke portion. There's going to be this karaoke portion. Sean Nelson's going to do some karaoke. Galen from Pickwick is going to do it. Kithkin's going to do it and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, that's a great idea. Did not work out like it was supposed to, I think. I think because there was so much free beer...
Thank you, PBR.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, PBR, for sponsoring the event. And there was so much time had passed from the start of the party to the karaoke portion. Like, it was like, I mean, it was a shit show.
It was a shit show. It was definitely entertaining, though, that's for sure.
It was super, I thought it was freaking hilarious. I don't know if the whole crowd thought it was as funny as I did.
I don't think so.
No. And so I get up there, like, I had a few things prepared, like, when I got up there and stuff, but that kind of got just all pushed to the side once everything kind of went cray-cray, right? And so I found myself, and I kept on telling myself, quit, you gotta stop doing that, but I was kind of making fun of people in the audience.
Yes, you were. And actually, that was the most entertaining part as far as I was concerned.
There were so many people there that were just, like, so straight-faced, like, the whole time. It was just like it was like, you know, a normal kind of Seattle show in the 90s where people would just sit there and they would just stand there and stare at you. So I had to keep on. I was trying to get people engaged, right? And maybe making fun of them wasn't the right way to do it.
I think they had consumed too many Dick's burgers.
Yes.
They were feeling lethargic.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. But what did you think? How did I do up there?
You did amazing.
Okay, good.
I mean, your stage presence is great. So I never doubted you for a moment.
I wanted to ask you that off air, but I thought, hey, what better way to float my ego right now?
Right. Well, and you looked great too. You had a tie on.
I had a tie on.
I mean, you got fancy and everything. It was impressive.
Well, I thought it was going to be kind of a See, this is what I went into it, like, not knowing anything about it. So I was like, well, okay, play it safe, wear a tie and a nice sweater. And I had to go and buy from Banana Republic.
Oh, Lord.
By the way, let's talk about this for a second. Banana Republic is where khaki is still very alive and well. And when I walked into that place, like, I was just like, holy shit, this still exists, right? And there was this guy there that, like, he was the sales guy, and I was like, I need help. And, of course, I was wearing, like, I was at my day job, so I'm wearing, like, flannel and a hoodie, and he's like, we can work with you. And so he took me back, and he showed me these, you know, sweaters and stuff that I could wear. I told him what I was going to go for, right? And he totally helped me out, and he hooked me up, man. It was great. It was
great. Yeah, you look sharp.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. You looked very very good, too.
Thanks.
Carrie, if you were there, I'm sure you would have looked very good as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Maybe not that night, but.
Yeah. Hey, Carrie, you look really hungover.
Exactly.
So, okay. So you guys, you ladies, you run the Seattle Secret Shows and Seattle Living Room Shows. You do very well here in town. We were just out back talking about this a little bit. And you've been selling shows out. How long has this been going on?
Since
when did this start?
April of 2008.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That long?
Yeah, almost 6 years.
Holy smokes. That's amazing. What was the impetus to it? What made you guys come up with this idea?
Actually, we had, Carrie used to own a wedding and event venue in Snohomish, and we did our first event, not in a living room, at her space.
Yeah.
We were able to sell it out. It was a very successful show with three out-of-state musicians, and we'd always been talking about the need for a more intimate space for artists to perform.
Sure, and after we
did that one successful show, that's kind of where the whole idea of the living room show concept came about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did our very first living room show probably, 2 weeks after that?
Yeah, 2 weeks after, I think.
I used to own a house in Lake Stevens, so our first living room show was actually out in Lake Stevens.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How many people?
For that, there was probably maybe only 20.
Yeah.
20 friends. Yeah.
That's really cool. So the living room shows portion of your biz is like much smaller. Right? Much more intimate. So we're talking like 20, 30 people tops, right?
When we do a show in a house, there's usually, 50 to 60 people in a house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But some
okay.
of our shows for the Seattle living room shows have moved into other spaces like art galleries, lofts.
Yeah, yeah.
Private venues, things like that, because we have kind of outgrown even that 50 to 60 person.
Right,
so
right,
when we
yeah.
need to go to the 100 to 150, we use some of those other spaces.
Okay, okay, cool. So what came first, living room shows or secret shows?
Living room shows.
And what is the difference?
The difference is the Seattle secret shows, you don't even know who's playing. So you're buying tickets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you don't even know the
lineup. Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah.
Oh.
That's the whole secret part of it.
That makes more sense now.
So you don't know who's playing, and you also don't know the exact location you're going until you buy tickets.
Okay.
So
okay.
you'll know the general area, but not where you're going.
Right, right.
So we started that in January of 2013.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that hasn't been going as long.
No.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Congratulations on
Thank
all your guys' success.
Thank you.
That's it.
We're
That's
excited.
The end of the show right
All right.
There.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it was nice talking to you. Thanks for having us. Can I have another beer?
No, I'm just kidding. Of course you can.
Naked City Brewery beer,
yeah.
of course.
Yes. By the way, some amazing Crossfire IPA from our wonderful sponsors at Naked City Brewery, where we are doing our live show on the 29th. Saturday, March 29th. You guys have a show on the 29th as well, which you're kind of here to plug, but we're not going to. I didn't tell you this. I didn't tell you this when we finally got you here. Yeah. The Air Raid Live sold out.
It's awesome.
Sold
Amazing.
Out. First live show sold out. You guys have sold out many more shows than I have. Because this is my first one.
Right.
Yours.
Congratulations.
What number have you been keeping track of, like how many shows you guys have done?
Well, for the last 3 years, we've sold out almost.
How many shows we've done total?
Oh, total.
Well over 100.
Really?
Probably even close to 200 mm-hmm. over 6 years. Yeah. We haven't kept an exact count, but.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
And how you were going to say how many you've sold out?
In the last 3 years, we sold out almost every show. There's maybe been one show that hasn't sold out in 3 years.
You big-timing me right now, Carrie? Is that what's
but
going on?
But it took us 3 years to get to that point.
You're in my goddamn studio. You know that, right?
It didn't happen the first show. So you're doing better, actually.
I'm doing okay. Okay, good, good. What was it? Because I know what I have been going through like this last month and a half, like planning this thing and like trying to come up with shit to put in it. You know, like what was, walk me through the experience for you two planning that first show. Was it stressful?
The very first show would be the one at my old wedding venue,
right,
I guess.
Right.
And that one was definitely stressful because it wasn't, it was a wedding venue. So it wasn't a music venue, and it was in Snohomish before people.
On a Sunday night.
It was on a Sunday?
No alcohol was allowed at that time.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So Kristen and I, back then it was kind of common to go flyer everywhere and pass out handbills, so that's what we were doing almost every night for weeks before the event. So that was really stressful.
Stressful. We were probably at shows. We tried to go to like-minded shows all throughout Seattle, probably 3 to 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
And you're not, it's kind of frowned upon to leave your show information at another venue, but we may have accidentally left a few flyers on the backs of some toilet seats.
Maybe.
Isn't that fun, though, like trying to come up with the most interesting spots to like I've done that before, too. Like I've taken my like stacks of business cards, especially when we were doing a lot with like Laugh Hole, where the comedians would come in to like chop suey and stuff. And so I would bring stacks of business cards along with me. I don't do this anymore because it's such a pain in the ass anyway, right? But you're like trying to like, you're like, okay, where are people going to see these the most? Like they're going, okay, next to the, maybe, you know, at the sink when they're washing their hands, and you put a stack of them there and there's a pool of water there that just instantly soak through like, you know, the bottom half of your stack, right? Yeah, it's always fun trying to come up with interesting ways where to like self-promote your crap.
Yeah, yeah. It was tough, but we managed to do it, and we sold that show out. So
really,
yeah.
Oh my god, that's really so cool. Yeah. And that was the first show.
That was the very first show we ever did. Yep.
Yeah. The first. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, the first living room show. I was just gonna say wasn't really stressful because that was more casual. We just kind of want to see how it would go. Just brought in 20 friends. The musicians played for just donation, and
oh, cool.
So that was easy, but it was also such a good experience. Chris and I both were just blown away with how it feels to have a musician that close to you and so intimate, and building that community too was really amazing. When we started going into bigger living rooms, and when we moved into Seattle and started doing more house shows out here, it was part of, because we were. Back then, we were so underground. We didn't have a website. We didn't have a mailing list. You know, none of that. Yeah. So it was just word of mouth completely.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So it's grown very organically, but certainly took a lot of work, a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, yeah. I mean, one live show. I mean, it's you learn a lot. You learn a lot every time.
So stressed out. That's why I wanted to ask you, like, how I came across on stage. I am going to have to like really, really remind myself not to just like. If I run out of material, not to do crowd work.
Yeah.
Because that's apparently not my thing.
Yeah, don't make fun of people at your own event. I can tell you that for sure. Do not do that.
Don't do that. You asshole. Yeah. I was trying to make it self-effacing, which I don't think came across. Like after because I kept on talking about how like we were all wearing cool glasses, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm wearing cool glasses too. Guys, come closer to the stage. And I was like, look at the, and then I was just like, where do you go now? What did you just do?
Crickets.
And don't make eye contact with the people who are obviously not having a good time. That's the second one, right? Yeah. So where did the love for music come from? Did you guys, your sisters?
Yes. We're sisters.
Kristen is the eldest.
Yep.
Carrie, you are the younger.
Well,
you just said that to my daughter.
Okay,
that's how I knew.
She doesn't
like to admit this.
Oh. Did I just, I overstepped the boundary?
No,
do we need to edit this part out?
No, not
she
at all.
She likes to tell people that I'm the oldest.
Well, they think she's the oldest because she acts more mature than I do. So I don't, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
Well, when I first met both of you at Timberfest last year, that's what I thought.
Right.
I was like, she must be the oldest one. Because she is obviously, she holds her liquor much better. Yeah.
I'm just like that all the time, liquor or no liquor. Oh my gosh.
But where did the love for music come from? I mean, obviously this comes from a passion somewhere, right?
For sure.
I think it really came from our parents initially.
Big, you know, music lovers?
We had every Sunday, it was our blues Sunday that they would play.
Really?
And that really started it for both of us. Yeah. We had a record player and we were constantly listening to records. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had. I still have all my old records as a kid. Shirley Temple. I have Shirley Temple. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Going that deep.
Yeah, real deep. Wow. Real deep.
Wow.
I have the original Michael Jackson Thriller still. Some Lionel Richie, maybe.
You got a copy over there, right? Yeah. No record player, though.
No record player.
I got to get the freaking record player. Yeah, yeah. So what else, I mean, what were you guys, like, what did you grow up listening to? Was it all, were you a normal children where you were listening to pop music and stuff like that? Or were you very, like, eclectic with your musical tastes, listening to blues and things like that?
We were definitely very eclectic. I mean, our parents exposed us to so many different types of music. It wasn't just blues. I mean, you know, their music, whatever they were listening to, from, you know, Cream to
Janis Joplin,
Beatles, you know, Jimi
Hendrix. Very steeped in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Very much.
I like
so.
That.
Yeah. And that just continued to grow throughout our own adulthood.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wish I got into like the 60s era when I was a teenager. But my dad was always really into like early Beatles. So the very like poppy, you know, 60s pop,
Right.
We would always listen to. Are you guys originally from Washington?
Yeah, I was born and raised Pendleton, Oregon, but only for 6 months. So
yeah,
raised here.
And then moved up to Seattle area.
Yep. Right. Okay. Kristen was born in Spokane.
Oh, okay. Back in the 30s. No.
Yep.
Sorry.
I know. Don't I look good?
You look great for 90 years old. Right. Yeah. Sorry. No, but my dad was always like listening to like 97.3 KBSG, right? That was like the oldies station in Western Washington that would always play like, you know, Candy Girl and, you know, all the huge, huge pop hits, like one-hit wonders, you know, from the 60s.
What was it?
It was like the 50s, 60s, and 70s, I think is what they did. Yeah. So I didn't have like a whole lot of stuff to draw from until I became a teenager and was going to like junior high, where people were actually like growing up with that stuff, you know? And I don't even know if I found out about Jimi Hendrix until I was like 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
And then my mind fucking exploded, you know? I think I had like 8 different Jimi Hendrix t-shirts that I would just cycle through for my whole teen years.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that's really cool. So your parents were constantly listening to music.
Oh yeah,
it sounds like
we always had music on in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't remember really ever having TV on much. It was always the records playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or tapes or whatever we had back then.
That's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to do that with my daughter.
Yeah,
yeah, it's important. I think you know. I mean, I think it certainly shapes a lot of parts of us, not just our taste in music.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Get that microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Right up on there.
I feel like I'm too loud. Enough, so
no. You're good. Okay. You're good. Yeah. So where did you guys grow up? Here in Washington.
Bothell area.
Bothell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Near
okay.
Mill Creek.
Born and raised then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except for the 6 months that
for
you
me.
Were
lived in big
town
old
Pendleton,
Oregon. Home of the Roundup.
Yep.
Right on. Did your parents play music? Was it like no instruments?
No instruments.
Constantly putting records on and smoking marijuana is what I'm saying.
Well,
I don't think they were doing that. If they were, they were hiding it from us really well.
Yeah.
I think I had it from my dog pretty good. Yeah.
Our aunt did play the piano though, and she taught Kristen and I both piano when
really?
We were little. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And we definitely come from our artistic family. Both of our parents are very good artists.
Yeah.
Whether it's drawing or painting, our mom's really talented. So is Carrie. Actually, she just doesn't do it anymore.
What did your parents do? Like, what were the jobs?
Well, they didn't do anything artistic for work necessarily, but they definitely both have a hobby and a passion for art. Okay.
Yeah, right on.
Mom's
well, that's a good
assistant.
Thing to kind of pass on to your daughters
for
as
sure.
well. Yeah,
for sure.
So, what was a let's switch subjects here. I want to talk about you guys personally.
Okay.
Okay. If I'm getting too personal, you just say, "Hey, drop back. take a step back,
take
bro.
Take a step back."
Yeah. So what was growing up like for you two? Like, are you far apart in age?
We're just almost 4 years apart.
Oh, really?
Three years and 11 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it depends on which one of us you ask and at which point in our lives.
That's
I mean,
true.
I think... God. Don't let her tell you any stories, Erin.
I have some stories.
Well, that's what
lies.
That's what this show
They're
is all about.
Lies.
Is all stories about
about
your lives. So I want to. I mean, what was it like growing up as sisters? Like, you seem to have a very, very close relationship now.
We do,
right?
Yeah.
But was it always like that?
I think it was for the most part. I mean, definitely when we were young, we were very, very close. I think there was just a time period when I was getting out of high school and transitioning into whatever other part of my life I was going into.
Right, right.
That maybe we weren't as, definitely we weren't as close. Should carry. But I think that, you know, that passed probably quicker for me than it did for her. Probably tortured her a little bit.
Oh, sure,
but,
sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever like pin her down and like give her like
oh,
Chinese
yeah.
torture?
Oh yeah.
Where,
oh yeah.
Oh god.
You know, just
this story's a lie.
There were some
Disclaimer,
stories in elementary and middle school for sure.
Which story is that, Carrie? Go ahead and share one.
Please.
Oh my goodness.
In fact, I
do you
I
want me
to
tell the big story?
I want to hear the big story.
The one that you denied for years.
The one that I...
There was a time that she... We were getting babysat by our aunt. And she... I don't know why. She pinned me down on the ground and dug her fingernail into my face until it bled.
No.
And then she tried to pour rubbing alcohol into it, into my open bleeding wound.
Listen,
it was
how I remember it.
I had a scar for years. It's gone now, but
well, were you into, it's because it didn't happen.
Were you just really into science? You just wanted to see how this.
Well, yeah, I had an interest in the medical field, so I just wanted to see how I could cause and create a difficult traumatic situation.
Right. You want to see what pain looks like on somebody else's face.
Sounds like I did a good job in getting rid of that scar.
You're just being a normal big sister. No, the cousins did not allow you to pour that onto me. I was
witnesses.
I was rescued.
There were witnesses.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. See, I remember it differently. I remember it as I accidentally scratched her, and then I tried to pour rubbing alcohol on it.
It's not true.
It's too bad there wasn't a teddy cam or something.
I don't think
that,
those
right?
existed back
no,
then.
No, not at all.
It was before our time.
We didn't even have cell phones back then, so.
Is that ever weird? Do you guys ever, like, look at that? Like, I was on my cell phone just earlier today, and I was, like, looking up Facebook and stuff, and... And I was just like, it all of a sudden hit me. It was like, how weird is that? Like, you used to see, this was like the future technology that you would see on Blade Runner, right? Of course, they weren't looking at like social media sites, but they were, you know, they had that technology, and now you're holding it in your hand. That's the weirdest fucking thing. But my daughter, for example, she's never going to experience that weird feeling of like, whoa, this is, well, I guess maybe, but like, but they've already got that. They've already got the stepping stone, right?
Right. She'll just experience whatever weird thing is coming next over the next 20 years. Yeah. And then she'll be like, I remember when we just had cell phones.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I remember this, but it'll be more like, I remember this thing called a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like the thing called a pager.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That. And like, my daughter doesn't know what a telephone looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Like a rotary phone. Like, so we had to tell her there's this book just full of pictures, right? And you go through that book and you just say, this is a refrigerator. And, you know, just learning things. And then it has a picture of a rotary phone. And she called it a bucket. Like, she knows what a bucket is. But she was like, that looks like a bucket. Like, that. That's just...
That's so funny. Yeah. Technology is definitely taking over our world.
It is definitely going crazy. Hey, let's do this. Let's take our second musical break. We're featuring music from a band that's going to be at your show on the 29th, right?
Yep.
Can't come to my show anymore because it's sold out.
Because it's sold out.
Haha.
So, but you're in luck. You can come to ours.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Can't.
How much is it?
What? You can't.
I can't. No, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be making fun of my audience apparently at Naked City Brewery.
Right.
Yeah,
it's $16.
$16, mm-hmm. Okay, and we can go to either SeattleLivingRoomShows.com or SeattleSecretShows.com, right?
Yeah, just right? just SeattleLivingRoomShows.com
for that
for
show.
Tickets for that show. Yeah,
gotcha. $16, and we don't know where it's at yet. But you find out if you buy your ticket, you find out.
That's right.
Okay. This, the band.
Oh yeah.
The
band, you probably want to know
NTNT,
the bands.
Yeah. Right?
That's one of them. Yes.
And this is what I found was super cool about this band is that it was originally called Ninja Turtle, Ninja Tiger. And now they've just gone with NTNT. The song is called The Attitude, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guests today, Carrie and Kristen Watt. See how I did that? I switched around.
Oh.
So now they think Carrie's older.
Smart.
We'll be right back, everybody. Stay with us.
didn't happen that often.
No?
No.
No.
There are only a few things that I remember.
Yeah. I mean, we were great to each other, really, for the most part. We always had each other's backs, and especially
we didn't tattle on each other
when we were doing things we shouldn't have been doing. I mean, not that we did, but
yeah.
Like when Carrie used to sneak out and stuff.
Oh, that was you.
I know.
That was always you.
But I always told her when I was going, I'm like, hey, just so you know, I want to make sure someone knew where I was,
right,
in case I didn't come back. So.
Yeah. In case you were murdered.
I doubt you told me where you went.
Well, I never knew where I was going. I was just wandering around the neighborhood.
You did tell me when you were going to sneak out.
Drinking wine coolers that our neighbor bought us.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about this for a second?
Sure. Are we recording this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
This is all, on record.
Oh,
all
dear God.
On record.
Oh,
we,
all right.
So we had
Mom
this plan one time to sneak out of my parents' house, and my buddy Joel had called me late at night. It was like 10:30 or something like that, and I raced to get the phone because this is where the plan was going to be formed, right, where we were going to meet.
Right.
And so I raced, and I grabbed the phone, and my dad had picked up like seconds before. And it was Joel. And he was like, is Aaron there? I was like, I got it, Dad. I got it. He's like, what are you calling so late for? Nothing, Dad. It's fine. It's fine. Just hang up the phone. And so you wait until you hear that click, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And then Joel goes, I don't know, man. I think he knows. And I was like, no, man, no, it's cool. I've got the weed, right? And so I sneak out and meet Taylor and Joel on the beach in Indianola, Washington. Taylor is blotto. Stole a bunch of his dad's Budweiser.
Right? Oh, God.
Just absolutely blotto. And we smoke the illegal drugs, and then... I just got to go. Like,
these
guys
paranoid.
Are yelling. They're yelling on the beach. There's people that live up on the beach. Everybody knows each other in Indianola, right? It was like when I was growing up there, it was like a population of like 700, maybe 800.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And so if somebody's yelling down on the beach, somebody's going to wake up and go see who the fuck it is, right? And so I'm like, I got to go home. And so I'm walking home, and all of a sudden there's these headlights that come up from the street, and I dive into the drainage ditch that, mind you, is full of water.
Oh.
About 3 inches, not full, but 3 inches of water. So I'm laying in 3 inches of just, like...
Nasty.
Nasty, gross ditch water, right? And the car passes, and it's going super fast. And I'm like, do I recognize the car? Yeah, it's my goddamn dad's car.
Oh, shit.
And so I just start booking it. I'm still like maybe half a mile away from home, and I just start booking it. I run home, home, the lights are on, and my mom's sitting on the couch.
Oh
God, that's the worst.
Yep. Mom's sitting on the couch. She's in her bathrobe, and she's like, where have you been? And I was like, I was up at the beach, and me and Joel and Taylor had a campfire, and it was just dumb, so I came home. Fine. Right, everything's fine. Dad gets home. He's like, you're in deep shit, but just go to bed.
Right.
All of a sudden, it's 3:00 in the morning. I'm being shaken awake by my dad, just literally shaken awake. And I wake up, and I'm like, what? He's like, Taylor's mom just called. He said you had weed at the... it was over.
Oh,
it was over.
Oh no.
And I was in such deep shit. Taylor had gotten super duper drunk, right? Crashes back into his house.
Oh my God.
Parents were asleep. He wakes him up because he's all over the place, right? And then proceeds to lay down on his bed. I think he was like vomiting or something like that. And he just starts spilling the beans. Aaron had weed, blah, blah, blah. Oh man, it was over. It was over.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
What happened to you?
Well, there was talk of military school for a little while. Yeah, everybody was really scared. My brother was super afraid for me. He was my younger brother. I don't even know how I got onto this, but yeah.
Oh, because we were talking about sneaking out of the house.
Yeah, talking about sneaking out of the house. So, yeah, that was I think that was the last time I really snuck out of the house. That was like 13 years old, man. I was missing out on a lot of sneaking.
Right.
Yeah.
But but that was like, like from that point on, even into my high school years, because I was like only 13 at that point. Like even into my high school years, I had to go wake my parents up and talk to them when I got
so
home.
So they could do a pupil and a breath check.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the funny thing is that I would get so high and then I would have to go and talk to my parents super duper high. And I like at one night I walk out, I was, hey dad, I'm home. Oh, hey Air. And then like, yeah, okay, thanks for waking us up. And I just walked in, I turned on the lights, and I shook my dad's hand. What better way to tell your parents you're high as fuck?
Right. Right? Yeah.
You guys
way
ever
to blow get... your cover.
Yeah,
awesome.
Right?
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys ever get caught?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get caught sneaking out
oh,
of the house?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like bad?
I never got caught sneaking out of our house because I never
did.
Did
I get caught sneaking out?
Because she, you got caught multiple times.
I
got caught sneaking
out of friends'
houses. I
guess I blocked all that
out. I remember, Dad.
I thought I was doing a really good job.
I remember, Dad, Mom and Dad waiting up for you one night when you snuck out.
Oh, God. I had it down really good there for a while. I used to meet my friend Cindy, who I've known since second grade.
Uh-huh.
And we had like this signal. So she lived like four or five houses up the street. So she would go into her dining room and flash her lights.
Oh,
so I knew that was time for us
yeah,
to
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Yeah,
that means that our neighbor that worked the night shift at Safeway had already delivered our four pack of wine coolers into the barrel that was out front of my parents' house.
Whoa, you had a fucking
oh,
super
honey,
system.
I had a, we had a system down. I mean, it was down. I would climb out my window
Whoa.
Onto my parents' roof.
Yeah.
And then I would go down the other side, down the front steps, go grab the little wine cooler packet.
Right.
Meet Cindy. And we'd just walk around the neighborhood drinking wine coolers. I do remember one time, this was my favorite, kind of embarrassing, but a car was coming towards us.
Yeah,
and we're
yeah.
like, oh my God, I wonder if it's someone we knew or we know. I hope that's not our parents. So we squatted down on the sidewalk and pretended we were rocks.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
did
imagine that.
Did that work out?
Well, fortunately, the car was not anyone we knew.
Right.
So technically, yes, it did work out. We just looked like assholes.
You know what they were saying as they were driving back? It's like, holy shit, look at those kids.
All you can see probably is just my massive curly hair, you know, coming out from underneath my hands that are covering my head. Yeah, anyway, not one of my prouder moments, but,
no.
You know.
Carrie, did you ever get caught?
I got caught when I was younger, but I never snuck out of my parents' house because Kristen would get in trouble, and the times that I got in trouble from my friends' houses was so severe, like 6 months
yeah.
of grounding that
oh
I never tried. I never tried at my parents' house. But
yeah.
she got the easy route. They were really strict with me. Love you for it, Mom and Dad, since you'll be listening to this later.
I don't know if they know that story I just told, but
I'm sure they have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I think I told that story at Cindy's wedding. I gave a speech at her wedding and my parents
uh-huh.
were there. So I think
yeah.
I may have spilled the beans already on that one. And my dad was like, I knew it.
That's the greatest though. Like when you, cause I never thought like as a kid, I never thought I would have like a relationship with my parents. Like
you know,
when you're a teenager, you're just like, whatever, you know, I don't even want to look at you in the eyes. Right.
They don't know anything when we're teenagers.
No, they,
you know?
Yeah. They're dumb. And now my dad is like, I call my dad up. Like, I found this weird grease deposit in my backyard. Like, literally, I'll show you guys here in a little bit. It's disgusting.
I can't wait.
It's this weird gray grease that smells like hand soap underneath my porch.
Strange.
Yeah, very, very weird. If you know what I might be talking about, please, will you email me, Aaron@air-raid.net, because I have no idea what this stuff is. Anyway, so I call my dad. I was like, Dad. I had a weird grease deposit in the yard. I don't know what it is. We'll come and take a look at it. Yeah. And while we're there, we're going to fix that plug in the hallway.
Right.
And we're going to put that new light up. And I was like, dude, I love my fucking dad.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's how it is with our parents.
Definitely.
Yeah. We're very close to our parents now.
Yeah. I mean, I was literally after that sneak out sesh right there that I told you guys about a little bit earlier, like they were talking like military school. Cause I was getting into a lot of trouble. That's
right.
Like not the worst story that
yeah.
I have from the age of 13.
Yeah.
But either. Like I was doing some bad shit and they were like military school. And they even like, I got in a lot of trouble. They called the cops on me, right?
Your own parents did?
Yeah. Yeah. My dad called the police and was like, what do we do? What do? We caught our kid. He's smoking weed. what the shit, you know? And I was just like, oh my God. And then it started this like snowball of like, where'd you get it, Aaron? And then I had to eventually tell, I caved, you know, mm-hmm. and I became the pariah of Kingston Junior High. It was really bad. It was a bad scene, man. It started huge fucking domino effect everything was affected, right? And people were calling, my friends were calling the house, and my dad was telling him, Aaron's not coming to the phone. He may be going to military school. And so he's telling all my friends. And I think, like, I got to ask him about this, too, because I'm sure that he probably wasn't like, yeah, we're doing it. He just wanted to make everybody think that he was or something.
Yeah, put the fear in, of God in you, I'm sure. Yeah.
My dad was not a very liked man in my friend's circles after that either. So, yeah. But now I love him. I love the guy. He helps me out on everything.
Parents are good.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping that, like, because I'm going to have two daughters soon, right? And I'm always curious to find out, like, how siblings react to each other, because me and my brother did not have a great relationship. And we live kind of far apart. He lives up in Mount Vernon. And so, like, you know, we don't get to see each other a lot. But I think you two have a great relationship. And I think that is just the best.
Yeah, we really do.
We're fortunate.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to work at it. Yeah. You know, it's definitely, it definitely comes with its challenges.
Well, now you're working together too.
I mean,
we also used to live together as well, multiple times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How in the world did we ever do that?
I have no idea.
And we were hanging out all the time too. We managed to make it work though. And I love her and I'm pretty sure she loves me too. So.
Most of the time.
Cool.
Just not today.
Just not right now, actually. No. I just changed my mind.
We're bringing up a lot of really horrible stories here.
I mean, it's funny.
It is funny.
I have great memories of growing up having Carrie as my sister. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So do I.
What's the difference, though? What's the difference? Like, can you take me back here just for my own knowledge? Like what I'm about to start dealing with here, like as the big sister, obviously the little sister, because I know from my experience, like the little brother, right? He was always just like the hanger on, right? Especially when you're in like, you know, before you're in your preteens and stuff, it's always the hanger on. And you'll stick up for them in a bad circumstance. But other than that, like they don't exist, right? Is that what it was like for you?
I don't remember really feeling like that a lot. There was certainly like a year or two that I think she was probably more annoying than other years. But I mean, I never didn't necessarily want her to not be there except for a few times. Okay. Maybe I'm lying.
Did you ever hope she was dead?
No, I never ever hoped that. That's for sure. I just think as a big sister, your little sister or brother is always going to annoy you at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just like, and then we get older, and then now I think I'm probably more annoying to her than...
Well, even when I was little, you were annoying to me at times. So I think it goes both ways, for sure.
I don't think so. Don't listen to her. Her memory's clouded.
Yeah.
Yeah, all she can think about is you scratching like a swastika.
Stabbing me in the face.
Into her forehead with your fingernail. That sounds awful.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Sorry about that, Carrie.
It's all right.
It's okay.
I've forgiven you.
Water under the bridge. Yeah, water exactly. Under the bridge.
Oh, I don't think you have anything to worry about, though. I mean, having a sister is having your a best friend for the rest of your life. And
yeah, totally.
Even though you might not always like each other, you'll always love each other, and it's a really great thing.
Right.
So.
Well, I just say, you know, I see you guys interact with each other and stuff, and I'm just like, man, that's cool. Like, I hope my daughters have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, well, they'll be a good age part too. Yeah. I think three to four years is perfect. Yeah,
totally.
Because they won't really overlap each other too much in school.
It's going to be like 3 years exact.
Yeah, almost. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's perfect.
And a lot to look forward to here, ladies.
Yes, you do.
We need some babysitters.
Right on.
Yeah, March 29th. We need a babysitter. Oh, how about you guys?
We're busy.
Darn it.
Let's talk a little bit more about this show that's coming up, March 29th.
Yeah.
Who's playing?
We have Moto Pony. Yeah. So they're a local Seattle band. Yeah, we're really excited. Yeah, we're excited to have them. We have Rusty Maples. They're from Las Vegas, Nevada. And then, of course, NTNT from Portland.
Yeah.
So it's going to be all full band, not happening in a living room. It'll be at a space, a bigger space we use in the Soto District in Seattle.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, we're excited. It's going to be a fun, upbeat, dancing show, hopefully. And,
yeah.
Yeah, we're really, really looking forward to it.
Awesome, awesome.
Are you looking forward to it, Carrie?
Yes. Just letting you talk.
Oh, thanks.
Again.
Oh, sounds like we need to have another discussion about something here.
This is where I wanted it to go. This is where I wanted it to go. I wanted there to be some sort of fight. So how does it work now? Like from the start, you guys have been doing these things since, for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So are you getting contacted by bands now, or are you actually still having to kind of reach out to people to line these things up?
We do both. We are getting hundreds of submissions like every month which is great, but we also are reaching out to people. If there's certain artists that we really want, we obviously are going to reach out. So it's a little of both.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's the same thing that this show has kind of morphed into too, which is always kind of a good feeling. It means that people are really like, hey, this is going on. We want to be associated with this. Yeah. We want to do a show with you. That's fantastic.
That's the goal,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
You want them to come in and talk to you just like we want them to come play for us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's really great.
Yeah.
We feel bad sometimes because, you know, we only do 2 to 3 shows a month.
Right.
So we just don't have time to do every show.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that's tough, but
yeah.
Well, have you gotten over that a little bit though? Like, do you still have a lot of guilt associated with that? I do.
We do.
We definitely do. I think every time we have to send an email that isn't the answer that people are looking for, we definitely
feel bad,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, feel awful. We get a lot of submissions. We get a lot of like people just sending music in. Hey, can you share this with your listeners? It's just like, oh God. Sometimes it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you don't get to that email for like 2 months.
Right. Exactly.
Like, and oh my God, I just feel like an asshole.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. But I mean, it's part of it though. I mean, especially when you're a self-run business, it's, mm-hmm. you know, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
Right.
So don't feel so bad.
Thank you. Yeah. Which you guys are now, a self-run business.
Yeah.
You just got your business license in
mm-hmm.
November,
mm-hmm.
right? So now it's a legit thing. It's like it's a real thing. Was that like a – tell me about that moment. Was it a different feeling in particular, or was it just
– nervous.
Day to day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean because, you know, we had to restructure things when you're going from like a donation and to actually having to
pre-sale ticket.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the different structures was different, but it's also been really good for us too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it comes with a mix of emotions, you know?
Yeah.
you have to move. We were just at the point where we had to move to that next step. So it just had to happen.
Yeah.
So,
well, and like I was telling, we just got our taxes back.
Right.
Like we're not, Air Raid is not its own business. It's not a licensed business yet.
Right.
So we're having to like claim everything as like a 1099 or whatever that is, right?
That's like an independent contractor.
Independent
contractor.
Yeah. Oh God, we gotta pay so much in taxes now. Like it's just ungodly. Like I don't even know how that works.
Yep.
I need to start writing stuff off, man.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to do that.
That's what you get an accountant to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm nervous about it. Like, that's why I was asking you guys so much about it. Like, I don't know what to do.
It's nerve-wracking for sure. But you just have to get the right people that can help you and guide you in that.
Yeah.
Don't try to do it yourself.
Right. Yeah. Always have
definitely
some help,
don't
right?
recommend
yeah.
doing it by yourself. I mean, that's just one more thing you have to worry about, and why not take it off your plate if you can. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, totally. Now, is there more people that are helping you guys out, or are you two it?
We have day of event volunteers, but the day-to-day work that we do is all just Kristen and I.
Yeah,
it's just you two.
Yeah. So we'll have people that will, you know, work the door for us and that will help with some setup and some end-of-night cleanup.
We have a good team with us now. And of course, we have our photographers that are at all of our shows.
Jason Tang, right?
Jason Tang, Mocha Charlie, George Bentley.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Philip Johnson actually is going to be doing a show, our next show for us on the 29th. So
cool.
We have a good team, rotates, you know, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I really dig what you guys are doing, and Just, you know, more power to you, and
thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks.
And congratulations on all the success.
Thank you. Wow. Well, since we're here on the air, we just wanted to extend an invitation to you to April 26th. We have our 6-year anniversary celebration.
Oh, man.
It will actually be a secret show, so we're not announcing the lineup.
Okay.
But we'd love to have you. I think you might be done having a baby right at that point. So you may or may not be able to make it.
It may be just 2 days after.
Oh, man.
Just put some noise canceling headphones on her and bring the kids out.
That's okay for a brand newborn baby.
We'll see how that plays out. We'll talk a little bit more about that off air. But thank you guys so much for coming in. I hope you had a good time.
We did. Thank you.
I hope I didn't make it too awkward with trying to get you to tell horrible stories about each other.
That was fun, actually.
Good. Good.
It's I a may little have lost
venting,
some friends,
right? You're getting rid of some of the
exactly.
right.
That's the airing of the grievances.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what.
Do you
it
feel
is.
Better, Carrie?
I do.
Okay. Good.
I don't need to go to a counselor now. Okay. I'm okay.
I may have lost some friends after her telling that story, but that's okay.
Yeah. Remember, guys, she was trying to carve a swastika into her forehead.
Yeah. It wasn't really that.
Just joking.
It was in the shape of a heart.
Yeah.
I love you. Okay, so March 29th. Secret show coming up, right? Or
yeah, God. That's okay.
See, I'm getting them all mixed up. You guys got so much stuff going on.
It's
Seattle
confusing.
Living Room shows.
March 29th is Seattle Living Room shows.
Yes.
With Motopony, NTNT, and Rusty Maples.
Excellent.
And then we have our 6-year anniversary too, which is for Seattle Living Room shows, but we're going to do it as a secret show. So you're not going to know who's playing on April 26th.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And where can they get tickets?
SeattleLivingRoomShows.com.
Okay. Not on like brown paper tickets or anything like that, just at the website.
The ticket link will be on our website.
Okay.
Through brown paper tickets. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks, brown paper tickets. You're amazing.
That's great. They are pretty friggin' amazing.
They are.
So that's it. Thank you guys again so much for coming on. You can find out more about these two fine ladies on Facebook, right? And on Twitter, Seattle Living Room Shows. And find out about us, the Air Raid Podcast, at air-raid.net. Also on Facebook and Twitter at Air Raid Net. What's your Twitter?
Seattle LR shows.
And then C secret shows.
That's so
difficult. We can post it on your website.
Yeah. I'll make a link.
Yeah.
I'll make a link. We'll make it easy. You just go to air-raid.net. You just click on that shit and you find it. Right?
Perfect.
Thank you so much for having us, Aaron.
I said that with my eyes closed, by the way, to like really just get into
envision.
It. Yeah. Thank you very much, ladies, for coming to the backyard. I really appreciate it. Okay, we're going to go out today with another song by NTNT. This song is called The Way Back, and you can see them live on March 29th at Seattle Living Room Shows. Go and check it out. Guys, get your tickets now because it's going to sell out. All right. This is The Way Back. I don't know what else to say. That's it.
Okay.
That's done.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Here on my own, dark ages right.